All right, here we go. So today we are actually finishing up the book of Jude in our message series. So if you have a Bible with you, if you want to get that ready, we're on the book of Jude. So it's the last, second to last book in the Bible. It's the fifth smallest, shortest book in the Bible. It was written by Jesus's half-brother, Jude. And it's a letter written to a church. We're not sure what church it's written to, but it was written to a church where there was some iffy things going on. And we have been learning the last probably 5 or 6 weeks here at Harvest Mill. We've been learning what Jude is saying to this church, what he said to them then, and how it applies to us as believers today. So just to kind of go back over some of the context, if you haven't been here or if you've missed some of the context of the book of Jude. So first, we have to understand that he's writing to this church and they're false teachers, false leaders, however you want to say it, that are, it says, perverting the grace of God at this church. Okay, so they were changing. Perverting means to change. They were changing God's grace into something that it isn't. And so we talked about how God's grace sometimes gets changed into license. Okay, we've talked about that in several different messages, how they were taking God's grace and making it license, which means that basically the thinking goes, well, if God forgives me of my sin, then why doesn't that mean that I should just keep on sinning, right? Why does it matter if I sin or not, if God is going to forgive me in the end? It's thinking that we have a license to sin. And that's what these leaders were doing. And Jude rejects that. He says, no way. Like, that's not what the gospel is. That's not the grace. That's not what grace really means. Doesn't mean we just have a free pass. And so he calls the community in these verses that we're going to read today at the end of the book to build one another up in the faith, to grow in their faith, instead of thinking about license, to actually grow and take those steps. And he says license is wrong. But here's the thing. A lot of times when we know one thing's wrong, we try to correct it, and we can maybe overcorrect it, and we swing all the way over to the other side, right? And there's a ditch on both sides of the road. So you've got to ditch the license ditch. Okay, we've talked about that. We know that that's wrong, but sometimes we try to swing it over so hard the other way that we get into the other ditch, which is legalism, and that's what we're going to be kind of looking at today as we close this book of Jude. We're going to look at what legalism is and what it really means to follow Jesus and to receive God's grace. So take a look at me with me then at verses 20 through 25. This is where we're going to be focusing our time today. I'm just going to go ahead and read all these verses. We'll pray one more time and then we'll dive into it. Jude 20 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." God, again, we thank you for your word, and we just know that we need your help. God, I need your help if I'm going to be able to communicate anything of value today. God, I know that we need your help to understand and interpret what you're saying, and we just pray that you would give us the help to do that today. Amen. Okay, so where we're going to focus in really today is Jude 21, where it talks about, or it says this, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's kind of like the central command of this whole last section. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And like we said earlier, when we swing all the way over to the side of the ditch of legalism, we can take that phrase, keep yourselves in the love of God, to mean something that it doesn't actually mean. Here's what I'm thinking today. So you see on the screen here, we've got a picture. You've got a waterfall on the right side, and you've got a ladder on the left side. Legalism is kind of like the ladder on the left side of the waterfall. Okay, legalism takes a phrase like keep yourself in the love of God, and it thinks about it like steps on a ladder. Like, if I just keep doing these things, if I keep reading my Bible, then God will love me. If I keep serving and pouring into others, then God, that's keeping myself in the love of God, and then God will love me. If I just keep going to church, or if maybe if I start going to church, then God will love me. Legalism thinks about it in that way. It's thinking like, I've got to keep myself lovable to God. I've got to earn my way into grace. That's in short legalism. In short, we could say legalism thinks God loves a better version of you. That's what legalism tells us. God loves a better version of you. So if you want to keep yourselves in the love of God, work harder, give more, read the Bible more, pray more. And all those things that I just mentioned obviously are not bad things. Like, I hope that we're all doing all those things. Those are great things. But the problem, and when they become dangerous, is when they become like those steps on a ladder, that we think about them like we're doing these things to get to God's love. That becomes legalistic, and it becomes a bad thing when we do it in that way. So the problem really with the legalistic mind view is that we take that phrase, keep yourself in the love of God, and it becomes a transaction. Like, if I read my Bible more, God will do this in my life. If I work harder, God will give me that next promotion in my life. If I give more, God will bless me in this way. It becomes this transactional type of thinking, right? And that's not good. And there's some problems. Here's some problems with legalism. The first, we've got three. The first is this. It gives us this false sense of control. Right? It makes us think like, well, if I just do Y, then Z will come, right? If I just do B, I don't know what letter to pick, then A will come. Like, if I want this outcome in my life, I just have to do this, follow these steps. Like, we're so used to in our culture, right? Just plug in the right formula. We've got formulas for everything. Just plug in the formula and you'll get what you want, right? And then we treat God like that sometimes, right? If I just plug this in, if I just do these things, then I'll get what I want. And that puts us in control, or it feels like we're in control. But truly, we're not in control. God is in control. He is the one who is in charge. He is the one who controls all things, and all outcomes are up to him. And so we cannot just put in a formula, just do certain steps, and then we get what we want. All things come from God. He is in control of all things, and we are not. And legalism makes us think that we are more in control than we actually are of our life and our future. So number one problem is this false sense of control. The second problem that we see with legalism is there's this constant fear of failure. If you're living legalistically, there's this constant dread almost of like, what if I slip, right? What if I slip off that ladder? What if one of the ladder rungs just breaks and I just fall through it? One minute we feel like God loves us because we're doing all those things, and then I miss a week of quiet time with God, or I miss whatever it might be, and then we think he hates us now. Okay, we have this constant, sometimes if we are living in legalism, this constant fear of failure. And that fear of failure actually leads us to more fear, because it leads us to shame and feeling worthless. And actually, that leads us to feel tempted to sin, because when we feel shame and worthless, we feel like we have to cover that up. We have to numb that feeling with something. And that's the false feeling that sin offers us in temptation. And so there's this constant fear of failure, and that leads us into temptation when we live legalistically. The last one, and this is probably the most important, is that it doesn't truly change us, right? When we live in a legalistic sense, it doesn't actually truly lead to your life being changed, because we just think, well, to change, I just have to try harder. Like, I just have to do the steps a little bit better, and that will change me. And that approach to our spiritual life is exhausting, right? If you've ever been there, which I probably have, probably speaking from experience here, it's exhausting, and it actually doesn't bring us life. It actually brings the opposite of life. And so what happens if we're caught in this cycle of legalistic thinking about God, it eventually, we either give up and just kind of succumb to the license side and just say, like, this is just way too hard, and I'm just going to, you know, give in to sin. I'm going to do what I want to do. Or we double down on the legalism side and just say, I got to just try harder. Like, the reason that it didn't work is I wasn't trying hard enough. I wasn't doing good enough, right? And there's just always this kind of carrot that's always too far for us to reach. Like, if I could just try a little harder, then I would get there, right? But that doesn't bring change. Neither legalism or license brings change. And when you think about what legalism really is, it's this kind of human approach to religion. It's trying for us to put our way of thinking onto God and who he is. Here's a quote from two pastors wrote this book, Brandon Cook and Bill Hall. It's called The False Promise of Discipleship is the book name. It's a free ebook. If you're interested in it, I can share it with you later. But here's what they say about legalism. He says, the gas that drives the entire engine of legalism is the belief that God must be persuaded that we are worthy of further good things and responsibility, that we must wrestle blessings from his hand, and that ultimately God is not really good and generous. You see, it's a misunderstanding of God's character when we live in a legalistic mindset. God is good. God is generous. He blesses out of grace, and we don't have to wrestle those things away from him. And so, going back to this idea, right, of this waterfall and the ladder, if the left side of climbing up the ladder to God is kind of the legalistic side, the waterfall on the right is the gospel, is the good news of the grace of God. It's the reality that God doesn't just love a better version of us. He loves us actually how we are right now. And that helps us get to a better version of us. That's the only thing that gets us moving in his direction, is the fact that he actually loves us how we are now. He cares about us. He knows us, all of our fears and failures and struggles, and he loves us now. And that helps us become more like who he wants us to be. And so when you think about a waterfall, right, you don't have to climb it. You just have to, like, move towards it. You have to stand under it. You have to do, like, if you're going to stand under the waterfall, if you want to enjoy, like, the water coming down on you, right, you don't have to climb up anything to get to it. You do have to move a little bit left to right to get under it, but you don't have to climb a wall to it, right? And so that is very similar to God's love. We have to move into accepting God's love. We have to have a relationship with him, and there's things that we do to keep that relationship going, like reading our Bible and praying and all those things, but you're not climbing anywhere to get to that. You're just moving into his love that is already there and already present, and you're realizing it. And so when it says, keep yourself in the love of God, it's talking about God loves, we already said that, but it's talking about a relationship. Keep yourselves in the love of God is talking about that relationship, keeping that relationship going and making sure that you're staying aware of God's love. And in everything that you do, realizing that at that specific moment, God is love and he is right there and he loves you in that moment. It's not about a transaction. We said this on the left side, legalism is a transaction. That's the transactional thinking. But the gospel is about a relationship with the living God. And so I just want to share a couple of verses about how it's more about relationship and not what we do. This is a verse out of the Old Testament. It's Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And in it, God says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. So God doesn't care about our wisdom, right? Our human wisdom. He doesn't care about how strong we are physically, our might, what we can do with our bodies. He doesn't care about how much money or riches or resources we have on this world. If you're boasting in those things, it's really kind of looks silly to God. Ultimately, that's not what it's about. But he does say, if you're going to boast, boast in this. Here's what it says next. Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me. That's relational language, that he knows me. He has a relationship with me. And he says this, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And so God says, don't boast in these things that you do or have. Boast in the fact that you have a relationship with me, who is steadfast love and who practices justice and righteousness and is perfect, and boast in that fact. And so it's about a relationship with God. And God actually, Jesus actually said very similar idea, I would say, about relationship in John 17:3. And he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And Jesus said that about eternal life. He said, this is what heaven is all about, right? Sometimes we think that heaven is only the destination, hell. We got two destinations, and that's true, right? There are, I fully believe, there's two destinations for every human after we die, and it's heaven or hell. But the thing about heaven is it's not just about the place. It's about the relationship. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. Sometimes I wonder, like, if some people would get to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, if they would really care or not, right? If it's just about getting, it's about the relation. My point is, it's about the relationship with Jesus, the one true God, and that is eternal life. Eternal life is to know him and have this relationship with him. And so I don't know if you're like me at all, but I know that I need to stay aware of God's love in my relationship with him. I can go long stretches of days, weeks, maybe even sometimes without really sitting and pondering the fact of God's love. And the rest of our time, we're just going to look at as we how we can apply this, right? How we can practically apply this in our life. And we're going to look at a couple of the verses in Jude to help us do that. But these are some ways that we can stay aware of God's love. And like I said before, these aren't bad things, but they're not like climbing the ladder to them. They're just ways that we stay aware of God's love. So the first one comes out of Jude verse 20, where he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. All right, so we're called to build ourselves up in the faith. And the way that we can do that is by knowing God's word. If we don't know God's word, then we can't really know what God is like or who God is. And it's a lot harder to trust something that you don't know, right? And that's basically, that's what faith is all about. Faith is about trust. It's about trusting who God is and his character. And if we want to be able to trust him, then we have to know more about him. And if we want to know more about him, we have to take the time to sit and read and study God's word and know it. Romans 10:17 tells us this. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So if you follow the reasoning there, if we want to have faith, we need to hear the message. We need to know the words. And if we want to hear the message, we need to know the word of Christ, which is found in Scripture. And so it's really not, it's a lot more simple than we make it out to be sometimes, honestly, right? We can instinctively know that. The best way, the best thing we can do to get to know God is just to listen to what he says, to make consistent time, to get alone and get undistracted time to sit and study God's word. Whether that's for you, maybe that's like the start of your day is the time for you to do that. I know that's for me before kids wake up. That's the best time to be undistracted. If there's a different time for you that works better, that's great. But the point is trying to get those times where you're undistracted and you're able to sit and listen and study what God says. The second thing that we can get out of Jude is he says in the same verse, Jude 20, he tells us, and praying in the Holy Spirit. So Jude says we should be building up our faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. And so that phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit, it's kind of an interesting phrase. It doesn't mean that like there's regular praying and then there's praying in the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying, but I think he's trying to make a point about what prayer is and how prayer works. When we're praying, we're constantly in this relationship where we have this ability to constantly pray with and communicate with the Holy Spirit, because God the Spirit lives in us as believers. If we have our faith in Jesus, we also have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we can constantly be communicating with him whatever we do. Prayer is about communication with God, and God tells us in Romans 12:12 to be constant in prayer. That last part. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. So if you just take that little last phrase, it makes us think about how we can constantly be in being a prayerful mind and attitude. And it's good to have times where you're going to pray specifically, but we have to also get used to, like, as you're praying, just pray throughout the day. Pray for the little things that happen. When you see something that God did that's amazing, just say it. Like, God, thank you. You're amazing. That's awesome. Or if you're thankful, find yourself thankful for something. God, thank you for that. Or you need help. God, please help me with this. Or like we did today, right? Please pray for this family that has had a car accident. It's constantly praying and being reminded of God's presence. So we can know God's word. We can be constant in prayer. And then the third one, way that we can share, stay aware of God's love, is to share his love with others. So take a look last time at Jude with me. Jude 22 and 23 says, "Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." So we don't necessarily talk the way Jude's talking there today. So we've got to kind of break it down a little bit and figure out what he's saying. So first he says, have mercy, which that word mercy in scripture is a lot like the idea of having compassion for somebody. It's like you have this deep feeling, but it's also this feeling that helps you act upon it and do something for that person. So he says, have mercy, have compassion for those who doubt. For those who doubt. Now, I think that what God is saying here is he's saying for us to have mercy on people who don't believe in him. Because all of us, here's the thing, all of us have doubts sometimes. Every single person in the world, believers and unbelievers, sometimes have doubts about God. That's natural and human. But there's also a way of doubting where you totally don't believe it. So there's the doubts that believers struggle with day to day, but there's also this state of complete doubt and you're not really a believer. And I think what he's talking about here is when he says those who doubt is everyone who's not really a believer yet. They don't really trust God. They don't really believe the message. And he's saying have mercy on them. Have compassion for them. Have compassion for people that don't know God's love yet and share that with them, right? Do whatever you have to do. He says snatch them out of the fire. If we truly believe that people who don't know and don't believe in God are destined for eternal suffering, then we're going to have love for them and we're going to have compassion. If we have compassion for them, we're going to share the gospel message, which is the only thing that can save them. That if they trust in Christ, they can be saved. And so he tells them, have mercy on those who doubt, share God's love with them, kind of snatching them out of the fire, if you will. When we share God's love with others, here's the thing. If we're constantly sharing God's love with others, that also helps us understand God's love and helps us be aware of God's love and understand his heart and how he loves people. And it helps us to do what Jude is saying to do by keeping yourselves in the love of God. So these three things are three practical things that we can all do. We can know God's word. We can be constant in prayer. We can share God's love with others. As we close today, just take a look at the screen for a second and ask yourself, who would like more of these in their life, right? These are the fruit of the Spirit the scripture talks about in the book of Galatians. And wouldn't we all like to have more of these qualities and these things in our life? Like, we wouldn't reject more love, right? Being a more loving person or having more love in our life with our relationships and our friends and our family. Nobody would say, like, don't give me any more of that, right? Nobody would say, don't give me any more joy. I don't want joy, right? Nobody would say, I don't want peace. Just give me a life full of anxiety and depression. Like, just no. Nobody thinks like that. We want these things. We want patience. We want to be a patient person, not a quick-tempered person. We want to be kind and have goodness, have faith. We want to have gentleness, or humility is another way to understand that word, or self-control. We all want these things, right? But here's the thing. They don't come by trying harder. None of these things on the list, if we understand what the fruit of the Spirit means, they don't come by just trying to do them. They come by out of a relationship with God. They come when we realize and keep ourselves in the love of God and have a relationship with him. These are called the fruit of the Spirit. And think about just for a second, like how fruit grows on a tree. The fruit doesn't try to grow itself. The fruit just grows out of a relationship or out of having a healthy tree. The fruit grows out of that. It's the outcome of a healthy tree. And so it's the same for us. When we have a healthy inside and our mind and our heart, our spirit are constantly aware of God's love and grace, then as we walk with God, he produces this fruit in us. He helps us supernaturally, I believe, become more loving, become more joyful, have more peace. But it's not because we're trying to do those things necessarily. It's just this overflow of us walking with God, of us keeping ourselves in the love of God. And so when we keep ourselves in the love of God and stay aware of his presence, it changes us from the inside out. And that is the huge difference between between legalism and true grace. Legalism says, I've got to try, do these things, then God will approve. True grace, and what the Bible teaches about grace, is saying, no, God, he loves me how I am. As I walk with him and commit myself fully to this relationship that I have with him by faith, he produces change in me. He changes my heart from the inside out and makes me a new person, a new creation, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. That is our hope as Christians, is becoming more like Jesus in our character every day. Last verse I want to point out to you, one more thing back into Jude. In 24 and 25, he closes the letter to the church he's writing to by saying this: now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, and authority before all time and now and forever. And so what I just want to point out here in the way he closes the letter, he reminds them, he says, it's not about you keeping yourself on the right path. He says, him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's talking about God. He's saying, hey guys, God is the one who is going to keep you from stumbling. God is the one who's going to present you blameless before the presence of his glory. And so as we walk with God, we can have this trust, like, I'm not going to ultimately just like fall off the rails and God's going to forget about me. Maybe I'll go back and forth a little bit as I walk with him and I'll struggle sometimes, but I'll get better sometimes. But ultimately, our trust is not in our ability to follow God. Our trust is in God's character, that he is going to keep us on the right path, that he's going to keep us from stumbling and falling off of that path, because it is not about us. It's about his glory. It's about the fact that he is the only God and Savior, the fact that he is Lord, that he has dominion, like it says in the text, right? He has dominion. That means authority, power, that he's in charge. And so the bedrock of this whole thing of following Jesus is not the fact that we can do it. It's the fact that God will keep us, that if we have our trust in him, he will keep us on the right path. He will take us to where we need to be as a believer. So as we close this letter, just want to encourage you just to think about where you're at with that, right? How are you doing in following Jesus? Are you maybe swaying towards the license side of things, where you feel like, well, God's going to give me grace and so I can just do what I want to do what I feel like? Or maybe are you kind of finding yourself in the legalistic side and thinking, I'm doing, I'm trying to earn my way into something that can't be earned? Are you either on either of those sides, or are you really following down this path of grace, this grace that forgives us and loves us how we are, but also changes us and helps us become more like Christ every day? So why don't we pray together as we close, as we think about those things.